Technorama episode 458, landing right side up.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history. And now, the news.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
I'm in the mood for an astronaut breakfast. Do you guys have any tang and some freeze-dried eggs?
Over there, in the media corner.
MRE.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelt to disregard all safety rules. Here your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If this is your first time listening to us, well, thank you for joining us. You're in for a real treat. If you're a returning listener or viewer, welcome back. We appreciate you giving us your time. I am Chuck Tomasi, and with me as always is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I'm good. I'm actually visible, right? I'm
still yes, visible. You're visible. You're right. On the video. You're okay. Close to real time.
I'm close to real time?
Yep. There's just a little bit of temporal displacement. We're going to have to align the wormhole a little bit better next time.
All right. Get your calipers out.
My Heisenberg compensators aren't compensating.
That's right.
Reverse the polarity of the neutron flow, yeah.
Also joining us here in the Binary Studio is...
Ben from 2K Geeks.
And...
Keith.
Are you
waiting for the camera?
The camera has to catch up. Four and five. And one, yes. Two, three, and four. Making sure I got the right mics going here. Hey, you know, the title of this show is Landing Right Side Up. Wouldn't you want the upside up and the downside down and the right side right? I never really was sure why.
When I wrote that title, what I was thinking, actually looking at, was a video of SpaceX trying to land that rocket, not too long ago, and it for like the third or fourth time where it went sideways on the little ship.
This is one of those things that rocket, like, when Julie was younger, she had she still does, such a logical mind. She would catch things like this. When we asked her what she had for breakfast, she wouldn't say this morning, she would say last morning, because that was the last morning she encountered was today's morning. She's perfectly logically correct. And then we started getting the things like, what is right side up? Why would you want your right side up? Wouldn't you want the upside up and the right side right?
So then if it's right side up, does that mean you also have a wrong side down?
Yeah, absolutely. Maybe it should be correct side up.
It was only a problem when Chuck would say, "Who gave you that? Other daddy?"
Whoops.
Not quite. On that note, we're going to take our first break.
Coming up already.
In this episode, we have Ronald Reagan on Star Trek. That sounds like a drug or something.
Yeah.
No drugs, kids. Time capsules and Captain EO.
Honestly, I have no idea.
I'm doing good. I just took off the laser suit.
I'm not reading that.
Wait till April Fool's.
Tell me, Craig, what was it like?
Shazam.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge, know to me. What was it like?
Did you ever have one, Chuck? Setting registers to...
Take a listen if you're interested. Quality's excellent. Content is not too bad.
Everybody was kung fu fighting. Forget you.
This is Brian Brushwood, professional jackass and raconteur. You're watching Chuck and Craig on Technorama. Except you're not watching, you're listening. But you're watching with your ears, because your ears have eyes. And you need to see a medical professional about your ear eyes. That ain't right. Where's my beer?
Yep, we're about that messed up today.
We're about that messed up.
Not totally messed up, just about that messed up. We have some feedback. Not much, but we'll play the song for it anyway because we like singing along.
Yay.
Letters. Subpoenas.
Yeah.
We've been served.
Court servings. You may have already won $100,000.
I love those letters.
Just give us your ID and your driver's license to Uganda.
Did we miss it? Oh boy.
Oh boy. Oh boy. Oh boy.
It's from the Prince of Nigeria.
Look, other daddy gave me a letter. Just kidding.
We're still getting responses. We're still getting responses from the questions we have in previous shows. And we love it because this is an ongoing conversation. No matter when you listen to the show, you could be listening to one from March of 2013. I don't think we were doing the question of the week back then. But Wayne writes in and we were asking what show should be rebooted. And he said, if Reboot gets rebooted, will that cause a rift in the time-space continuum?
Of course it would.
Hmm.
I think it would cause time to fall back on itself.
Would it be an infinite loop? Would it be his own grandfather? No.
Would it be folding space?
Perhaps not.
Folding proteins.
I got nothing.
Okay. You guys weren't around when we asked this question. Yeah. So if you had a TV show you would like to see rebooted, any thoughts? Some could have already been on their second or third reboot.
Yeah.
Man, that's kind
of rate of things go, yes.
I could possibly, and this is going to sound weird, but I could see rebooting a present TV show because it desperately needs it.
Oh, what would that be?
Doctor Who.
Yes.
You know, based on your feedback from recent conversations in the season, what are we on? Season 10, 12?
We're in season 9.
We're in season 9? 10,
season 9. Well, we just finished season 9 this weekend.
But anyway, the whole Clara thing, Clara isn't working for me. See, I don't watch it enough to even care anymore. But yeah, that one kind of has fallen out of favor. It's not on my must-watch list anymore.
What was it? Raven? Fear of the Raven?
Fear of the Raven.
That episode when we did a review of it, my stinger for the show was, quoth the Raven, Clara is no more.
There was much rejoicing.
The finale was okay. The ending of the finale was pretty good.
Don't spoil anything because I haven't seen it. I've seen the Raven one. I haven't seen Heaven Sent and Hellbent or whatever the last one is.
Yeah. Don't bother.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hellbent?
Don't bother. No, I've gone this far.
I'll jump back on the bandwagon when you guys say it's okay to jump back on the bandwagon.
I will agree that Clara didn't do anything for me. Really.
Clara.
Clara, whatever.
See how fast I can learn?
even during when she was hanging out with Matt Smith, I was like, okay, she seems interesting. But
she was interesting then.
She was interesting.
Yeah, Peter the Capaldi. Impossible girl when she was sort of
it's when she became the regular girl that she became highly annoying, and I couldn't wait to see her killed off.
They really wrote her horribly.
That's too bad.
Horrible, horrible, horrible.
Actually, she turned out okay this season.
Yeah,
she's okay this season. It's just the stories were garbage.
Semi okay.
Any children's show, anime, anything you want to see rebooted?
Problem is, there's still talk about Lost in Space is going to be rebooted for Netflix.
No.
We know that. We know Lost in Space is coming back.
Yes.
And everybody's talking about rebooting Babylon 5, but I'm of the mindset that I wouldn't want to.
I wouldn't want to reboot it.
I wouldn't want to reboot it. Because the characters there are so strong.
Yep.
Those actors were so unbelievably amazing that to reboot it, I think, would actually...
Degrade it?
It would provide a disservice to the remarkable job those actors did.
More or less?
Just continue it on.
I would continue. I would continue. I would make a whole
Babylon
new
6.
Series.
Yeah, there you go.
but something along those lines. I mean, there's a lot of story that can be told in that universe, so I would do that. I don't know if I would necessarily reboot it. I mean, to me, I would reboot something that did badly.
They could call it Babylon Infinite.
It's the fourth age.
It's Babylon, the next generation.
All right, Craig, do you have your D20 handy?
Uh-oh.
Yes.
Uh-oh.
We're trying something new. Instead of accusing me of putting terrible names in for your spots only...
I'm sorry. You told me just to have it ready.
We're going to roll for initiative. Are you ready? This will tell us what order we're going to do on this day in. So okay. I roll. I got an 8. No, 9? 8. I got an 8. Now Keith and Ben can roll. Oh, it's right behind the iPad. Sorry.
I got 18.
Uh-oh.
We should have all rolled at the same time, actually.
I got 20.
Oh, roll for crit. So it's going to go Ben, then Keith. What did you get, Craig?
I have a 12.
Then Craig, then me.
Okay.
Ben, so Keith, Craig, me. Just yeah, the way I see
just
it in
the way
studio.
It is right here.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's, right, it's still it? Clockwise. I just get to go first.
I'm thinking that's going
to
be.
Oh, no. All right. Let's start the music. I get the announcement, though.
Yes, you do.
On this day in history for December 9, 2015, this is the 343rd day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There ain't much left to Christmas shopping. Only 22 days remaining in the whole flipping year.
And it was on this date in 1793 that New York City's first daily newspaper, the American Minerva, is established by Noah Webster.
What a quinky dink.
Also today in 1888, statistician Herman Hollerith installs his computing device at the United States War Department.
I thought you were going to say Herman Hollerith installs his computing device at the United States War Department.
Thurman Hollerith.
Thurman Hollerith.
Suffering Zuckatash.
Suffering
Is my next?
You're next.
Huh?
You're next.
I am. Okay. That same date in 1950, Cold War, Harry Gold is... Huh?
Oh, no.
That's a weird sentence.
Keep going. Keep going.
Harry Gold has sentenced 30 years in jail for helping Klaus Fosch pass the information about the Manhattan Project to the Soviet Union. His testimony is later instrumental in the prosecution of Julius and Ethel Rosenberg.
Rosenberg.
I think we would have gone with Fuchs as a closer approximation.
Well, I could have said something else.
Yes, that's why we were laughing.
Actually, I think that other thing would have been the correct pronunciation.
We rolled the dice. Yeah. It's all fair.
Futches.
Futches?
As... You broke Keith. As part of the Red Scare, General Electric announces that all communist employees will be discharged from the company 62 years ago today.
Oh, dear.
On December 9th, 1958, the John Birch Society is founded in the United States.
That same date in 1962, the Petrified Forest National Park is established in Arizona.
And this is the University of Keksberg. What is the... I'm rolling again.
What? You rolled it.
You rolled it. UFO, you keep it.
Keksberg. I never heard of this one. UFO incident. A fireball is seen in Michigan to Pennsylvania. Witnesses report something crashing in the woods near Pittsburgh. In 2005, NASA admits that it examined the object 50 years ago today.
Wow.
December 9th, 1965, A Charlie Brown Christmas. The first in a series of Peanuts television specials debuts on CBS.
And it can go away.
Yep.
And 47 years ago today, Douglas Engelbart gave what became known as the mother of all demos, publicly debuting the computer mouse, hypertext, and the bitmapped graphical user interface using the online system NLS.
I thought Bill Gates had the mother of all demos when Windows 95 crashed.
When it crashed.
Yeah.
Exactly.
During a demo. It was
press conference, no less.
The gift that keeps on giving.
It sure was a mother.
Windows 95, gotta love it. The eradication of the smallpox virus is certified, making smallpox the first and to date only human disease driven to extinction 36 years ago today.
Now we get some fun. Craig, you get a birthday.
Dutch mathematician and cartographer Gemma Gemma Frisius, born on this date in 1508.
Your connection is getting a little staticky. Yeah, very Frisius.
Frisius.
Also born on this date in 1571, Matthias, the Dutch mathematician and astronomer.
The man who developed Pilates, fitness expert Joseph Pilates, was born today in 1883.
Clarence Birdseye, the founder of Birdseye, was born on December 9th, 1886.
I thought he was the founder of Eagle Eye, but never mind.
What a coincidence. Yes.
Yeah.
Birdseye? And the computer science who developed COBOL, Grace Hopper, would have been 109 today.
Wow.
A string of famous actors was born on this date, including Douglas Fairbanks Jr. in 1909, Kirk Douglas in 1960, Red Fox, it's the big one, Elizabeth, in 1922, Dick Van Patten in 1928, and Judi Dench in 1934.
And
finally, Donny Osmond is 58.
He seems like he should be a lot older than that, doesn't he?
He does.
No, he looks a lot younger. Though.
Looks a lot younger, yeah.
That's the way it was on this day in history for December 9th, 2015. Are we almost out of music yet? No.
Not quite.
No,
Shuffle
them on out.
Hey, do I need to call back on Skype or something?
I believe you do.
Okay.
All right.
I'll call you right back. Hey, by the way, Keith and Ben, they both sound like they're coming through your mic. I don't hear... They don't sound clear like you do.
Well,
let's interesting.
See. Let's
while see you're looking at that, I'll be right back.
Bus is on.
Hello,
they're coming out.
You sound fine. I don't hear me.
1, 2, 3. Yeah, I'm not hearing me either.
You don't hear you. And
no,
you.
I don't hear me, and he doesn't hear him.
But you can hear each other.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm kind of hearing it the same way as I don't hear me as well either.
Yeah.
How and weird I've, is that?
That's very bizarre.
Yeah.
It could be that we brought the mic's down a little bit.
Test one. There you go.
Oh, I sound much better now.
Yeah, that's better, but it's blowing the garbage out.
Yeah, it's way too high.
Yeah.
Interesting. Wow.
So we're just going to keep that down, and I believe it will also... Okay. Craig's going to have fun editing this one.
Yeah.
Hello? That's 59.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
No, you're still staticky crackly. Yeah, what did we do last time when we hit this?
We hung up.
Yeah, but I thought you rebooted or something, too, or you connected something differently.
Hold on.
I remember seeing that episode.
Okay, hold on 1 second. I'll be right back.
We're having a rerun.
Yeah, no kidding.
How would you rate the overall quality of this call? Excellent, good, fair, poor, very bad.
Is there a qualification that says sucks?
Choose all that apply. There was a delay in the call. No. I heard echo in the call. I heard noise on the call. Check. The other side could not hear me. I did not hear the other side. Can you communicate with the other side?
Yeah.
The call did not connect. The call ended unexpectedly. Speech was not natural or had distortions. Check. There were cutoffs or fade outs in speech. Other, please specify.
Hello?
Much better.
Much better. Okay.
Much better.
Actually, what I had to do is I had to disconnect the H2 and then actually just reconnect it.
Oh, you're using the H2 as the mic. I thought you were going through your mixer at one point.
The mixer's been in the DragonCon bucket? Yeah, for 2 years now. I haven't used it I've only been using this USB mic.
Oh, okay.
Interesting.
Might be time to upgrade the H6.
I had all that stuff on my desk and I was like, I'm only for work. I would just use it for the microphone. I was like, what am I doing? Just use the H2. Use H2.
Yeah, and see how well that's working?
There you go. Yeah.
Okay. Let's do the news.
Shut up, man. All right.
Shut up! Shut up! Shut up!
Good news, everyone!
This is actually bad news. I should have put in a bad news clip there. I'm sure I have one somewhere. Here.
It's number 20.
Bad news, nobody.
Well, yeah. we were expecting to begin construction on the largest telescope up on top of the big hill in Hawaii.
The big hill.
That one with the other telescopes, Mauna Kea. And the permit was put on hold.
No.
Yes.
Why?
It's a clash of gods, science, lava, stars, and the law of the 39-meter. 39-meter. Wow. That's huge.
Many Christmas.
39-meter telescope in Hawaii.
39-meter?
The would-be newest, largest telescope on the planet just had its construction permit yanked by the Hawaii Supreme Court. The construction of the 30-meter telescope on the flanks of Mauna Kea volcano has been the topic of a fierce ethical debate between astronomers and I did that on purpose, you know.
I can tell.
Wanting the new instrument and locals wanting to protect their cultural heritage and spiritual beliefs. The isolation, dark skies, and high altitude of Mauna Kea make it supremely well-suited for astronomical research, evidenced by the 13 other observatories already on the volcano. And yet, it's also a sacred place for Native Hawaiians. Okay, I can respect that. And they're willing to tolerate yet another intrusion into lands traditionally reserved for only the high chiefs and priests. The construction permit for the telescope was revoked on the grounds that the State Board of Land and Natural Resources failed to hold proper hearings in response to groups protesting the telescope before issuing construction permit. For now, the $1.4 billion collaboration between Canada, China, India, Japan, and the United States is on hold. But this is unlikely to be the end of the story.
Oh, that's depressing.
Actually, I think the real reason was there was a little bit of pre-animate matter stuck in the Matrix. I think we should go down and check it out.
Yeah.
Well, we could always divert that funding to the new space telescope. They're working on the replacement of the Hubble.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, should be cool.
I didn't realize that they were actually working on a replacement for the Hubble. So what is it? Do you know? Anybody think
another big space-based telescope?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Got any other questions? I wasn't aware that there were 13 others up there. But it's going
to
take 22
years to get it up there.
No, I have no idea. Well, you see pictures like this, and there's, you know, four or five in the picture, and you often see the, you know, the pair of the big ones or the Keck or something. And it's just a 13 telescopes up there.
Wow.
That is not a joyride just that you take on your vacation to go up there either. No. It's a long drive. It's really cold because it's at such high altitude.
What is the altitude up there?
Really high.
Really high? Oh, cool. Yeah.
Don't get any higher, you'd be out of the atmosphere, I'm sure.
And you'd be hit with rays and things.
Right? Rays and things.
That was the last show you were on.
Yeah, that was the last show.
Its elevation is 13,796 feet.
Wow.
Oh, thank you, Dr.
Somebody.
Wikipedia.
2 miles.
No, I'm just kidding. That's about right. Miles. So elevation. It last erupted in 2040-60.
That's bad as raising things.
I kind of misread that.
2040-60. That sounds like a 3-year-old would give you.
Wait a minute.
No sense of place value here.
Okay.
we BC, have new bumper material.
That's BC, by the way.
BC.
Yeah. I'm still not clear what year that is.
2046. Wait a
minute. Okay, so last erupted in 2460 BC.
Okay.
Oh, wow. Okay.
That's actually fairly recent.
Yeah.
Who was around to... Who wrote that down?
The Hawaiians.
Yes.
What?
Yeah, they probably know it from like the third reign of...
Noah?
What?
Noah?
Was it before Noah?
The Hawaiians.
The Hawaiians. They weren't affected by Noah's Ark.
Let's get to something a little more sensible. Ben and Keith are joining us here in the studio, and they spent the weekend, or a good chunk of it, at Phoenix Comic Con Fan Fest.
Yes.
Which I want to hear more about.
Do tell.
Well.
Big thing, little thing. What was the size of this?
Well, it's obviously it's not going to be as big as the regular Phoenix Comic Con, which they hold in the convention center. They house it in the University of Phoenix football stadium, which is
otherwise known as the mothership.
The mothership.
Yeah, it looks like a spaceship.
It does. It looks like a spaceship that's landed.
Yes.
The home for the Arizona Cardinals. And the reason they did that is, well, largely due to rent, because trying to actually get the facility, the convention center downtown this time of year is just way too pricey.
It's impossible.
It's way too expensive. So there's too many other things that are going on at the same time, so they decided to put it there. And it's actually the perfect size because it allows them to do something that's a little scaled down that it was originally really aimed for the cosplayers. That was the original idea because the cosplayers really can't enjoy what they do during Comic-Con because it's too hot.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
It's way too hot.
This is a good time of year to be a cosplayer. Oh, yeah.
Precisely. So they moved it to December now.
Yep.
So they can actually go out, do the big cosplay
They have the big contest. Different fashion shows mm-hmm. outside.
Even during June, even if they're inside, it's still too hot.
Yeah. Because the air conditioning just can't keep up with
it. No, it can't, anyway. Especially when you got that many people inside the building. So, yeah, they started doing it in December. It worked out really great for them. And this weekend was perfect.
They should move DragonCon to February, Craig.
Yeah.
I agree. Let's work on that.
Yeah.
Well.
And last year it rained.
Yeah, it rained the first day.
The first day. So it was really kind of crazy.
Yeah.
But this year the weather was perfect all 3 days.
Yeah. And what was really nice is they had a whole year to plan for this event. Yeah. So they were able to get some really amazing guests.
There were some good names on there. Give some examples.
Karen Gillan was there. Morgan Shepherd, Sean Mayer. Kevin Sorbo.
Kevin Sorbo. Dirk Benedict.
Dirk Benedict. Denise Crosby.
Wish I could have gone.
Who else? Alana Gareth. Huffman. Gareth David Lloyd.
There were a couple of other artists that were there too. Tom Link was there.
Tom Link.
He was pushing his film Nerdgasm, which screened, I believe, yesterday.
Yes, yesterday evening. And there was another one. Gareth David Lloyd was the star of I Am Alone. It's a new zombie film.
A very new type of zombie film.
Yeah, it was really great. And Alan Oppenheimer was there. He's done a lot of different voices, a lot of voiceover acting. So it was really kind of neat, as well as a bunch of comic book artists and, of course, the regular vendors that you have. Lots and lots of cosplayers. Some really good cosplay.
Amazing. Time.
Yep.
And what I really like is just the general attitude that everybody had at this event. As Keith observed, there are varying levels of cosplay that's going on at this event.
Yeah.
From people that have just completely, totally decked out.
I've spent 12 years of my life making this costume.
Yeah.
And I'm wearing it one time.
Exactly. To people that just kind of, yeah. They,
I'm pretending I have a costume on. I have this towel around my neck.
Yeah.
You know?
Something along those lines. But what was really wonderful about it is that nobody judged.
No.
There was no judging. Everybody was everybody, equal. It was all about being in the spirit of things. Exactly. And when we watched the cosplay contest yesterday, I was just so pleased with the general crowd. I mean, we saw different age groups. We saw different levels of costumes, and it didn't matter. If you went up there, if you were brave enough to try to put on a costume and go up on that stage and parade it, you got really great applause. Wonderful. Just a really great feeling of friendship and fan gathering.
That's it. I know what I'm going to dress up as next year.
What?
I'm going to just put on a belt with a belt buckle that has a K on it. Nobody gets it. It's the Kuiper belt.
Oh my God.
Maybe and you should say, rethink
I am the solar system.
Right.
And this is the Kuiper belt.
And they'll say, the center of the universe.
Where are the other planets? You say, you can't see the other planets from the Kuiper belt. Yeah. It's too far away.
There you go. Oh my Lord.
Boo.
Boo.
You need a boo.
Boo. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that's.
I thought I was out there sometime.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, maybe I should have gone with the Orc Cloud.
But it was really good. Back to the Fan Fest, we had a really great time. We had the pleasure of actually being able to interview the filmmakers for I Am Alone. It was such a great experience, and we got to meet some of the media guests. We got to go up and talk to them. Just some really really great people, and again, just a wonderful atmosphere. And it wasn't too big and it wasn't too small. I mean, it was just right.
It sounds like it's a lot more personal, a lot more intimate than you would see at some of the other conventions.
Which is great because, like I've been saying earlier, it has a lot of some of the things that people have come to expect with a large Comic-Con, but it has the intimacy that kind of draws a lot of people to the smaller cons.
Yeah, and the programming was slimmed down. There was the main room where they had the spotlights for the different actors, and they were every 2 hours, something like that.
So what was the seating capacity in the main room? Just
about 300, maybe
at most.
At most. Yeah. So and I said there's only one track.
Basically
one track. And well, they had a couple of other tracks, but they were real specific. It was one track of the major guests, and then there were two smaller tracks of other people doing other things, like how to break into film and how to break into this and how to do this and
how to break into your house.
Yeah, into your house.
Why did I know that was coming from Craig? How to break into a bank.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, things like that, some of the stuff that you would see that are
how to break into a bank and then make a film.
Exactly. And then podcasting.
And then podcasting. Exactly.
Sorry to interrupt there.
No, but they also have some things going on outside too. To really take advantage of the great weather.
Oh yeah,
A BB-8 obstacle course. We saw there was a police officer who was actually giving self defense classes, and there was this guy who was doing cosplay as an elf who was partaking in the class, and it was just ridiculous to watch.
An elf learning self defense.
Okay.
Just shoot him with an arrow, right?
Yeah. And of course they had a little area that was set off for people who were wanting to do lightsaber duels. things like that. Yeah. So there's all sorts of really great activities. Yes, there was just, but there was really only the one main track of right. Of the big programming.
Right.
What was the cost?
For us, because yeah. we were media, it didn't cost us anything.
If you got it before the day of, it was $15 a day, I believe.
That's not bad.
Yeah. No,
that's not bad.
Very reasonable.
If I'm not mistaken.
Was there a weekend pass? Or
they had a weekend pass. I don't recall what the total
probably
weekend
something
was.
Sub yeah. $45.
But. Exactly, yeah.
Wow.
But it was really inexpensive. Friday was not too busy, but that was to be expected. That's when we made our way around to most of the media guests that were there and at least said hello because not a lot of people were standing there getting autographs and photos. But Saturday was really busy. It wasn't crowded like Comic-Con is, you know, where you can't move down the aisles. Yeah. It was a little crowded, and occasionally there was a ball up of traffic because of the intersecting traffic. But other than that, it was you could walk around and you could actually find a place to sit down.
You know, that sounds a lot like Heroes Con. You know, Heroes Con is Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, but it's very comic oriented. But there's a lot of big names there, and it's not. It's kind of crowded, but it's not terrible. And there's some. There's now starting to get a lot of cosplay there, and it's not expensive. And we're talking, was it $12 a day or something like that? You know, and then of course you get the whole weekend pass that's a little cheaper.
Yeah, this they focused primarily. They had media guests and comic book artists. There were a couple of authors, but other than that, they didn't really do all the authors. It was mostly comic book artists and media guests, and then the rest of the booths were vendors.
It sounded like there were some voiceover people too.
Yes, and some were in the media.
Okay,
yeah,
cool.
It was one of the most enjoyable cons we ever had.
Yeah,
and when we met with the showrunners, the runners of Phoenix Comic Con a month or so ago, you know, they keep telling us, you know, they look back to previous cons and FanFest to see, okay, oh, this worked. Okay, let's work on this, you know, improve in this area. Oh, this thing didn't work. Okay, chuck it.
Yeah.
So they're always
and they fully
fine-tuning.
Own up to if it didn't work, okay, that's my fault.
Yeah.
It was my fault.
I mean,
we're not doing that again.
Yeah, they realize they're trying new things.
Exactly.
And this was a huge improvement from last year. Massive improvement. So I kind of wonder if they're going to take some of the really great stuff that happened this weekend and then see if they can try to find some way to incorporate that into not just future fan fests, but possibly even the Comic Cons as well.
Exactly.
And they have this weekend clear next year.
And they have full-time staff now. The Comic Con offices.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. They have full-time paid staff.
That helps. It's not just volunteer people doing it on their weekends.
Well, that's what they were doing.
Full-time staff?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, the actual
it's
employees
big enough
now.
It's big enough now.
Wow.
They just opened their offices, so what, 2 months ago? Three months ago?
One of the people that we got to interview during the media day was actually the director of marketing. She's got a marketing degree. She had just earned a degree from ASU in marketing, and she learned, and she had been just volunteering, you know, just doing little grunt work for Comic-Con, and then finds out, oh, you need someone who's director of marketing. Guess what? I got a degree. She's the happiest person around because she can take her degree and use it in something that she's passionately in love with.
Did you ask her if she would help you out with the podcast?
No,
it's not a full time gig yet.
No, we don't pay yet.
Yeah. We don't get paid yet.
We don't get paid. We have full-time jobs.
That's right.
And on that note, we're going to take a quick look at the birthday calendar. We'll take a break. We've got several birthdays coming up in December, at least the first part of December. Thank you, gentlemen, for sharing. I'm going to block this weekend off next year. This sounds like a whole lot of fun, and I'm disappointed I didn't get to go, but I had some other plans this weekend. But the birthday calendar, December 9th, we have Steve Kite, a.k.a. Big Unit 62. Interesting. Yeah. Decker D, one of my former coworkers, is on the 12th, along with Kevin Burns, a.k.a. Soul Blaze, Matt Blocker, the Giant, whom we see regularly at Dragon Con, and Pamela Gay, who's not on our birthday calendar, but I stuck her in there anyway, is also on the 12th. Happy birthday to all of you. And Michael Spence from Brother Osric's Scriptorium is on the 14th. Wow. If you are not on the birthday calendar and you have a birthday this week, happy birthday to you. And if you would like to be on the birthday calendar and get a shout out at the appropriate time of year, go over to chuckchat.com/wiki. Put your name in there. Hopefully we'll spell it right, get it in the right order, and we don't have to roll D20s for it to pronounce it. Yeah. We're going to take a real quick break. We'll be back with the Hacks and Strange Stories, Remember When, and the Media Corner. We got a new question for you, because next show is going to be very, very special. Hang on.
Hello and welcome to another in our series, Life on Technorama. It's a series of shows that gives some insight to the natural geek world all around us. Here, we see the very rare and unusual mammal, Chuck, or the Latin name, Gidius Gidius. If we are lucky, we'll hear the whooping call. And that should bring out, yes, there he is, the Craig, or Comicus Insufferblus, showing up right on cue. We're not sure the exact relationship these two have, but they seem to work better as a team than separately. Now watch and listen as they put on one of the rarest displays in all of the geek world.
Hey, this is Neil Grayson. I play Douglas Fargo on Eureka, and you're listening to Chuck and Craig.
I was digging through the folders and came up with that one.
That one's a good one.
That was a good one. Thank you, Phil Clark from the Britain Yankee podcast, for doing that
and
one
now
for
they
us.
Do, they, now they show their full plumage.
Beautiful plumage.
Is that like showing your butt?
Craig, did you shut off your camera?
Oh, yeah, I did.
We work all this time to get a live Craig, and he turns it off.
No, I had to take care of something. That's all I'm going to say.
Oh. Take care of something.
I see. So we're going there.
Yes.
There's so much I could say, and I'm not going to.
Then we won't. Up first in the Hacks and Strange Stories, are you going to Korea, North Korea, anytime soon?
No.
No,
why? Me neither. But if you are, you may want to check your browser history, USB drives, and other things, because it could be subject to inspection when you get there.
Mm. Clear it.
Anybody want to read this one? It's fairly short.
The same isolated dictatorial nation that's currently expanding its nuclear test sites also wants to attract more foreign tourists. But visitors are subject to a ridiculous battery of tech-combining security inspections, including a very fine-grained look at your internet habits. On the heels of a recent warning from the U.S. State Department urging against all travel to North Korea, the Associated Press reports that the country is pushing to increase tourism, but intense security at Pyongyang's new airport may throw a wrench in any plans for economic profit, the travel warning states. DPRK customs officials will inspect USB drives, CDs, DVDs, mobile phones, tablets, laptops, and other electronic and multimedia devices brought into the country. Internet browsing histories and cookies on travelers' computers and other electronic devices are subject to search for banned content, including pornography.
Warning!
Or material critical of the DPRK government. Possession of any media, either printed or electronic, criticizing the DPRK government is a criminal act. Bringing pornography into the country is also a criminal act.
All right, who's determining what constitutes pornography?
Exactly.
Yeah. The AP reminds us that carrying pro-South Korean materials and Bibles is also out of the question. It's right out.
Bibles are right out.
What happens if you break one of these rules? Says the State Department, sentences for crimes can include years of detention in hard labor camps or death.
Way to promote tourism, North Korea.
I'm going. Sign me up. The AP says that detentions and arrests are actually quite rare, though.
Yeah.
You'd think Keith read this story already, man. The timing is impeccable. That's good.
Oh, man, they confiscated my white chocolate macadamia nut cookies.
Because it had nuts. That's pornography.
It's nuts.
That's right. That's just nuts.
It's crazy. It's nuts.
Hard labor camp for you. Craig, you're a runner. I think you should take this next story.
Well, let's run with it. All right. So running the London Marathon is hard enough. Running it in space, though, that's another challenge entirely. British astronaut Tim Peake is heading to the International Space Station on December 15th and wants to compete in a race at the same time as everyone down on Earth. He won't be running the actual route, though.
Oh, so, I wanted to see that.
Yeah. What if he was running it like, you know, over, like, kind of like on Google Maps or something, you know, you over.
Yeah. Oh, hey.
He goes around the Earth every 90 minutes or so. Wow. No, it's about 90 minutes.
We could just stand still then.
Right.
It'd be funny if you keep getting it.
I've done 1,460 miles already.
Go ahead, Craig.
You know, you get those text messages when the International Space Station is overhead.
Right.
You keep getting it because it's looping. He's going through the marathon. Never mind. Uh-huh. Anyway, so he won't be running extra out, though. He'll be running on a treadmill with a harness system that includes a waist belt and shoulder straps. These will apply some much-needed downforce to counter Peake's weightlessness and recreate the natural running style in space. He will also have a video feed of the route, which will speed up and slow down to reflect his pace.
So if everybody else is running 26.2 miles, and it says he expects it to finish between 3.5 and 4 hours, and he goes around the Earth, which is 24,000 miles every 90 minutes, he's going to go about 60,000 miles.
I was expecting he's going to be going like 2,060, 40 miles.
I would.
Yeah, 2,060, 40.
If I... Stop it. I got to finish this. There's a point to this. He's got to get one of those.
Can we say something else before you get finished?
White oval stickers on the back of his minivan that says like 60,000.
Yeah, exactly. There you go.
Yeah, how fast does the International Space Station go? Maybe you can get the medal for the fastest.
Finished time. Yeah. The fast time.
Hey, so running 26.2 miles in the ISS is tricky. In space, there is no wind or rain.
Or screaming.
Cool. Or what?
Or screaming.
Or screaming. That's
I can't
right.
hear you scream.
He'll have like four other guys in the corner going, go, man, you can do it.
Hey, or cheering. So screaming and cheering. There's none of that.
There was much rejoicing.
Yeah. And no fellow competitors to keep you motivated. Just the stars and a few curious astronauts. Okay, never mind. Peake has, however, you know, it's kind of lonely up there. Never mind.
We're not going there. Finish up. Focus, Danielson.
Peake has, however, completed the London Marathon before, clocking at 3 hours and 18 minutes. Wow. And 50 seconds in 1999. On October,
that was
April 24th.
Peak time.
Yeah.
It was his peak time. He hopes to complete the same distance between 3.5 to 4 hours, a formidable task for any runner on Earth, never mind one battling the harsh conditions of space.
Which includes x-rays and things.
Yeah. What were those? The raisins we had last time?
Yeah.
X-rays and things.
There you go. How appropriate.
All right. The mothership is coming.
Craig, do we have a chat room? Do you notice anybody chatting? I did not tweet chatting? Or social media this
I'm
week.
I'm sure there are.
Okay. Well, thank you for viewing. We can't give them a shout out.
I don't know.
Let's open the door and see.
We just got a letter. Never mind. Let's go to the Remember When. Remember that time Ronald Reagan visited Star Trek?
Oh, why are we on their starship, Mommy?
I hope they have horses.
Well, once upon a time, Ronald Reagan was a fan of Star Trek, and even a critic of it sometimes. In his diary, he talks about watching Star Trek III in the White House theater and how he thought it sucked.
Well, he wasn't alone.
People give Star Trek III a lot more grief than it deserves. It introduced the new Klingons. Huh?
What happened over there?
Actually, no, it didn't.
Yeah, that's when they showed the bumpy heads for the first
time. Star Trek, the motion picture.
No, it's not true.
Motion picture head clinging? Okay, yep. We'll get into that later. In the post-presidential years, apparently his interest in the franchise continued, and in 1991 he visited the then highly populated Next Generation set. The Gipper's attendance at Paramount Studios Stage 8 came as the cast and crew were filming Season 4 Klingon-centric two-part finale Redemption.
Ah,
good show. There were Klingons running around everywhere, to which Reagan supposedly noted,
I like them. They remind me of Congress.
Not sure what that quote was, what he meant by that.
Well, what? Are you saying that a bunch of Klingons running together is like a bunch of baboons?
Yeah. Sure.
They ate raw meat and live animals?
Well, you know that a whole gathering of baboons is called a congress.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
And
that's
exactly what
he meant.
I learned what a grouping of bats is.
What's that?
A cloud.
A cloud of bats, yes.
Uh-huh.
We went through that over like a month's worth of podcasting time. What is a gaggle of geeks, or what was it?
Gaggle of geeks.
It's called a convention.
Yeah, there you go. We were just there.
A convention. There you go. That's actually good.
A group of geeks is called a convention.
Exactly.
Right. Done. We've got that one marked off.
The music.
The music ran out. Yeah, that one's only like a minute and a half.
Oh. Let's go back to 2008 and let's revisit all those.
Oh, so we have another Remember When
with no music. That's all right. We're going to keep going. An 81-year-old time capsule was discovered inside an artillery shell. No, that is not a phallic symbol. But it's missing some brandy.
I wasn't gonna say.
People in Arlington, Washington recently discovered an old artillery shell filled with the treasures from 1934, but it seems someone beat them to it. Sometime within the last 8 decades, and whoever it was left a note. Thank you for the brandy.
Wow.
And they put all the crap back inside and reburied it. The shell was sitting at a memorial display at American Legion Post 76, where two volunteers recently decided that the device should probably be affixed to the floor. They took off the shell head and were shocked to discover a trove of documents, magazines, a menu from a local hotel, and a trench lighter from World War I.
But no brandy.
This wasn't the first time the shell's time capsule had been opened. It's unclear exactly how many times it's been accessed in the past, but we know that it's been unsealed at least once since 1934. Not only was there a note inside about some missing brandy, some of the newspaper clippings and magazines were sealed in Ziploc bags.
Oops.
Hey. Which, of course, did not exist in 1934. But according to the Arlington Times, it doesn't appear that anyone has added anything else to the capsule. Like an old walkie-talkie or something.
Well, I would argue that the integrity is still there because these items are authentic, right?
Apparently so, yeah. We're just missing some brandy. And like they say, well, except for the Ziploc bags, they didn't lose anything. And because they didn't bury it in the ground, it's in really good shape because a lot of those get soaked with water and then the artifacts get destroyed.
I read an article recently about a car that they'd put in a vault in Tulsa, Oklahoma, under the courthouse.
Oh, yeah.
And it was a 1960 Oldsmobile or something. I don't remember what it was.
We talked about that.
Oh, did you? Yep. Oh, I saw that
in
on
Oklahoma,
Facebook.
Wasn't it?
Yeah, a friend of mine lives in Tulsa, and he had run across the article and posted it on Facebook.
It was actually kind of neat. I think it got some water in the...
some water.
It was filled with water.
Yeah, because I remember
ruined.
Seeing the car, and it was kind of rusted out because of that.
Yeah.
That's too bad.
Poor thing.
Well, you guys are Disney fans, right?
Yeah.
You probably know the Captain EO movie well.
Yeah.
Oh, I've seen it.
Yeah, Captain EO.
A couple times.
No more.
It's gone.
It's gone as of today. It's gone.
No.
As of the day we record it.
Nope.
Oh, well, nope. According to this article, it is.
Maybe a Disney World, but a Disneyland, it's been gone for a couple of months. Yeah. No, not a couple months, more a couple of weeks. A
couple of weeks, yeah.
Okay, so it's a real recent shutdown.
Yeah.
It's been running since the 90s.
Well, it did, since the 80s. It was EO, and then it was Honey, I Shrunk the Audience.
Yeah.
It's the Magic Eye Theater, and then... Recently, they shut it down, or they brought EO back.
Right after Michael Jackson died.
Just recently, they have a Star Wars.
Well, they kind of got rid of Captain EO, and what they were doing is they were actually using that theater to spotlight new Marvel movies that were about to come out.
Yeah.
So they showed clips from Guardians like the new Guardians of the Galaxy, you know, Iron Man 3. So they were using that to just show little, you know, never before seen clips of movies.
Well, it's just like at Carowinds here near my house, they had at one time Paramount owned it. And so they had Days of Thunder and they had this thing where you sit in the seats in the theater and it goes back and forth. It feels like they have this incredible footage of the racetrack and you feel kind of like, you know, they got wind coming. And so So, and then they changed it out to a 3D SpongeBob show.
Yeah. Oh, great.
The Magic Eye Theater, the whole...
He was chasing after with a pickle to go on the Krabby Patty. It was kind of funny.
The Krabby Patty? Okay. The whole floor shakes. It's not on a gimbal, but it just shakes. It does.
Yeah, they call it a 4D experience. I do think Captain EO had continually played at Disney World, though.
Yeah.
And this might be applicable. The story might be applicable to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They created it back in 86 when he was just after the post-thriller thing. Right. And he was at his peak, to use the astronaut's name. But unfortunately, the people who did the creation did not really research Michael Jackson all that well, because they thought that his voice was too high and they considered dubbing it or changing the pitch in After Effects. But nobody was brave enough to ask After Michael Effects. For his permission because they thought he might be offended. So there's the voice. The other thing they were stunned at was, well, he danced. He did a lot of crotch grabbing. So they were trying to cleverly, crop out just a waist above the waist shot.
Yeah, you don't really see that in Captain EO.
No, that's because they edited it out.
Yeah, they edited it out.
But it was part of his gig even back then.
Yeah.
And I don't. It's like someone didn't do their homework when they made this and said, we should cast Michael Jackson.
Well, the thing, though, is that he was enormously popular, and even popular among kids. Yep. They adored him.
Sure, yeah.
So... it seemed like the perfect match to bring him into Disneyland. You know, the kids will want to come and see, their hero fighting off bad guys out in space and singing and dancing while at it.
Yeah.
Actually, I remember seeing it back in the early 90s. I thought it was kind of a neat show.
It's not a bad short. It's actually pretty good. I'm not really keen on the music. And the 3D technology is crude by today's standards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's still pretty cool. It's a little dated. Yeah, it's dated, but it's for what it was at its time, it was rather groundbreaking.
We also have 3D tours. Speaking of 3D and 4D, 3D tours of the Star Trek, the original series sets.
Ooh,
this is kind of cool. It does break the illusion, though, really fast.
Well, of course it does.
These are the sets from the Star Trek Continues that they built. And so when you spin around and you can see where the breakaway walls are at, where they can put the cameras and film. So it's great. It looks very immersive. I mean, you can move all around in the place.
Yeah.
And they just recently built the engineering.
I
watched some YouTube videos of them building it. And the warp core is awesome. Because as they were building it, you can kind of see how they did the force perspective. And then now you look at it, it's like, wow, it looks great.
It's funny. You're walking around the main corridors and you get to the end of the hall and you turn left and it looks like there's a couple of doors from somebody's house sitting right next to the Star Trek. It's kind of funny. I was going to grab some screenshots for the video feed, but I didn't get a chance this afternoon. It doesn't take long. You go into sick bay, and if you turn 180 degrees, there's like a spare table sitting there, and you see 2x4s. Oh, this boy. It's just a corner where they shoved extra stuff they need in another room. That's the way it works in Hollywood.
Exactly.
There's one area at the turbo lift. You can barely see it down on the right hand corner. I look down and it looks like it's like a bucket with some rags or something on top of it. maybe I shouldn't be here.
That's like when we got our backstage tour at Star Trek Experience.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, we've done that. Yeah, and they turn on the lights. There's like it's not the same.
No, it's just not.
The illusion has been broken. I don't feel like I'm there anymore.
Well, what also is cool is I know on this article there's three different videos plugins rather that you can view it. But if you open one down in the bottom left hand corner, there's like a little icon you can click it and it zooms out and you can see where all the sets are in relation to each other.
Oh, where the sets are in relationship to each other? Mine's kind of.
Well, you're getting a sense that you can see how that set is in a building.
It's in a warehouse kind of thing. Yep.
Yeah, you can kind of see. There's
a floor plan.
Floor plan. That's what I want.
And it zooms out, and you can kind of see. Yep. Looks like a camera's up in the rafters or something. It's kind of neat.
Yep. Yep. Cool stuff. If you want to find that out, click through on the show notes that you can find on our website, chuckchat.com/technorama. And look in the media corner. It says, take a stunning 3D tour of the TOS Enterprise, courtesy of Desilu Productions and everybody else.
And so, by the way, that, yes, they said that's more the most complete sets and, you know, that they've, that has been made in like 50 years, because they went and found all those blueprints, even some that weren't public. They just happened to find, you know, they happened to find it and was reference material,
yeah,
on how they built the set. So the sets are very authentic, is what they keep saying. So
cool.
I feel like, yeah, I could almost work there.
I want to go there and tour. I want to go look at it in person.
It's gone.
What happened?
I mean, it's gone.
The geek moment.
The geek library, there was no articles there, so I took it out.
Oh,
I see.
Dang it.
I thought you meant the start, the thing.
No, well, yeah, the Star Trek sets are gone.
No, they leave them up. They do the Star Trek Continues. This is the Star Trek Continues fan film.
Oh, I thought this was for just 3D rendered in a computer.
No, these are real sets that they built for Star Trek Continues. Yeah,
this is Vic Mignogna.
They just rebuilt. They did a Kickstarter. They called it a Kirkstarter. And they just funded.
That's cute.
They funded two episodes. I think it's two episodes and building of the engineer set. They didn't have that before.
Okay. Gotcha.
That's all brand new. Yeah.
I thought this was just computer animated from years ago. Mm-mm.
And see, now that makes sense, doesn't it? Where I said,
yes,
this is the first complete sets in 50 years of some of these areas.
Yeah. Very accurately.
But there's other Star Trek web series too that have used sets that are very, very, very similar.
Mm-hmm. Voyage Continues or
New Voyage is also known as, yeah, Phase 2. And then Star Trek Continues, that's Vic Mignogna's. Mm-hmm. And I think Alex,
I think he's a dead ringer for Shatner almost.
His voice is all wrong though, but he's a bloody, bloody good actor, and he's got the mannerisms down just right.
He talks through his nose a little too much, but he's got it down other than that.
Yeah, yep. And he's got Chris Duhon playing Scotty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then that's scary because Chris Duhon looks and sounds just like his father. It's terrible.
Cool.
And Grant Imahara is Sulu.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a hoot.
And what's funny is the first time I saw him in it, and maybe it was just me, but I saw where seemed like he was trying to do the voice too much. Yes, Captain. I was like,
he was kind of overdoing it a bit.
Yeah. Well, they had the whole cast at Comic-Con. Phoenix,
yeah,
Comic-Con.
The whole cast was at Comic-Con last June. It was great.
Yeah.
They're premiering one of their latest episode at that time.
Got to go see it. Let's go see.
You need to watch these, Chuck. They're on YouTube.
I will. We need to wrap this up, though. Our question this week is, what was your first Star Wars experience like when you saw Star Wars?
Oh, so that's what you... Okay, so when you say Star Wars experience, you're saying in the theater.
In the old days, yes, when you first saw it. Mine's a little out of order.
What was your experience?
Yes.
I saw it.
I'm going to save it for later.
Because next week's show will come out on the 16th, and we know what's coming out right after that. So our show next week is going to be very Star Wars themed.
Star Wars-esque.
Star Wars-ish.
Ish.
that's the Technorama term. Star Wars-ish.
Do I have any Star Wars?
Sound effects? Hey,
that's it.
So we had the lightsabers. Who'd you go with? And, you know, what'd you think?
Where'd
you
see it?
Oh, I remember it quite well. I will share it then.
I do.
Mine went something like this. You brought a gun to a lightsaber fight.
Yes. Actually, sounds more like you brought a finger to a lightsaber fight.
Thank you, gentlemen, for joining us.
Oh, a pleasure, always.
It's been entertaining, and thank you for sharing.
It's been entertaining.
Thank you. I might be here next week.
Try the veal. We're here all week.
Tip your server.
Find us at chuckchat.com, and you will find the rest of the links there. If you click through Technorama, that'll get you to Facebook and Google and all the other things. Call us on the listener line. We want to hear your Star Wars experience when you were a wee lad in the old country watching the Star Wars. I'm scratching that all up.
Do not. There is no try.
206-222-2428. That's 206- 222 chat, same number as it's always been. Email us, technorama@chuckchat.com, if you don't want to give us a call or record a voice recording or something.
Oh, and yes? Go to tggeeks.com to hear our latest episode that covers the Phoenix Comic Con Fan Fest and interviews.
Woohoo! Way to sneak that in.
Yeah, thank you.
Craig, can I have a 101 after the music?
Sure. 101.